Good afternoon, brethren.
Good afternoon.
Nice to see everybody. Hope you had a great lunch. Today, for those that like titles, the title of my sermonette is Rejoicing in the Days of Unleavened Bread. At this time of year, we are exhorted to examine ourselves so that we may be found worthy to take the Passover. And during the ensuing feast days of unleavened bread, we strive to further identify the sin in our lives and eradicate it. It is, of course, a lifelong process. But the days of the spring festivals gives us the opportunity for concentrated effort. It is also a time of rededication and commitment to God and His Son. There are many scriptures that are useful in this process. Here is a couple that I have used for many years. Let's look at Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. Matthew 5, 1 through 12. Beginning in verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now let's turn to Galatians 5, verses 19 through 26. Galatians 5, 19 through 26. Beginning in verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and in desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You will, of course, have your own favorite scriptures that provide help in this heart-searching process. God's word helps us identify the sins that exist in our lives and to acknowledge our guilt before God. It can be a painful time with many tears of repentance, but it should also be a time of rejoicing as the scriptures help us to see the growth that has taken place. This heart-searching and self-analysis should also provide gladness and joy as we see the hand of God at work in our lives. As we progress along the path of the Christian life, we should be able to recognize the transforming work of Christ in our hearts, minds, and attitudes. For myself, I know that for too many years, while desperate and eager to please God and become like Him, I was trying to do too much on my own strength. I was not relying on Christ in me to change me, but trying to build character. A worthy cause, no doubt, but not necessarily by itself enough. My very heart has to be changed. It is not just an outward show of behavior, which building character can often prove to be. Character building may not bring about the right sort of lasting change. If I'm building character, it must be Christ's character. His thoughts and ways replacing mine, not just what I think man or society might expect of me. The Holy Spirit, the very mind and power of God, enables us to want to obey God. It transforms us. Christ is formed in us. The new man grows and the old man is cast off. We become partakers of the divine nature. What a wonderful and unimaginable blessing. Can we see the inexplicable changes in our thinking, in our attitudes, reactions, and emotional behavior? Having recognized a fault, a weakness, an area of downright sin in our lives, and having gone to God and begged to be transformed, putting away the old man, can we look back sometime later and see that the prayer had been answered? With our willing heart and submission to God, Christ is able to work with us to remove the things that hold us back. We should be able to see that we are growing. This is not self-righteousness, It is an honest assessment with God's help as to how we are measuring up. We can then rejoice greatly and stand in awe of our great and loving Father for his awesome mercy in allowing Christ to live in us and helping us to become more like him. Of course, the process takes a long time. The change may be small to start with, but large oaks from little acorns grow. We humbly and honestly recognize that it is not ourselves, that we have no reason to glory other than Christ in us. The more we submit to our loving Father, the more Christ can achieve. Let's finish by looking at Philippians 2:5. Philippians 2:5. Philippians 2, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." I hope and pray that we all experience this with humility, awe, and love.